I didn't like the taste of alcohol. You know, there was a reason I drank it, and it was to get drunk. So, and you know, growing up, I remember I didn't drink a lot of in my younger years, but it was when I became a teenager that I really started drinking for real. And I remember that I never really felt like I fit in with a lot of the other kids. You know, we moved around a lot, so I was always new to a school, and I don't really recall having a lot of what I would consider friends, you know, up until maybe my high school years. But I remember going to a party once, and they had booze, and suddenly, you know, I drank a few, and suddenly I was able to talk to everybody, and I was still pretty goofy, you know, but I felt comfortable talking to people once I'd started drinking, and this was something I looked forward to from then on. I wasn't off to the races. I didn't immediately start just tearing into it, but I did. Anytime I was going somewhere where I wanted to be social, I got there a little early so that I could start drinking early. And by the time people arrived, I felt comfortable enough to talk to people and to carry on a little bit socially. Fast forward to my late 20s, and by this point, you know, my 20s were pretty much a blur. I liked to drink, and I also liked to take a lot of the drugs. You know, I won't talk too much about those today, but they were an important part of my using and my recovery. As a matter of fact, in my late 20s, I remember that I did get to the point where, you know, I'm not going to tell a whole bunch of horror stories tonight because, I mean, they pretty much sound like what everyone else had. But I remember that I got to the point where even the booze and the drugs weren't doing it anymore. And I was chasing after something that I could never grasp anymore. And I would still try, but I never found myself back to that comfort level again where I felt like that it was worth it. And yet, by that time that came around, I had to drink and I had to do drugs just to be in my own skin. But I lost the real benefit of it. It became a point where I just had to. And if I didn't, then I couldn't, thanks. If that's a relief, actually. If I didn't drink and if I didn't get high, then I couldn't even function. And what's really weird, though, is I was able to carry on during the day, and I was able to carry a job. You know, I'd lose jobs, but it would be for things other than drinking and drugs. And I was able to carry on a daytime persona, and then at nighttime, I was a completely different person. I hung out with completely different people. And my biggest fear in life was when the two groups ever crossed paths, because I was two completely, utterly different people. I had a nice white-collar job during the day, and at nighttime, I always seemed to favor the younger kids. I would hang out with the younger people and do all my partying with them. And it got to the point towards the end there where they did start overlapping. And that was, you know, and I did start losing a lot of things. My car got repossessed, and I'm not, again, it's not so much about that. What I want to share tonight is I did eventually find my way into the rooms. I went to AA for a little while, and I also went most of my time in a different fellowship because I felt like, you know, I related better to them because of my drug use. And I actually put some time together. I was sober for several years, and I went through the program, and I sponsored people, and I even remember speaking one time. And I had, you know, but by the time I had about 4 or 5 years sober, I finally, my life started to get back to normal, and I finally was able to get by on life's terms. And then I met someone, and she had two kids of her own, and I married her. And she also was in recovery. That was kind of we met at a social place. It had to do with computers and geeks and stuff like that, but everybody was drinking, and I went up to the bar at the same time she did, and she ordered a soda, and I ordered a soda. She goes, "Oh, you're not drinking?" I said, "No, I'm a friend of Bill's." And she said, "Oh, you are? Me too." And there was a connection there, and we both had a few years under our belt. She had a lot more than I did. And at a certain point, we got married, and I got what I really wanted most of all in this world, which was a family, you know, somebody that I belonged with. And it was what I always wanted. I was always chasing after belonging somewhere. And my wife and I came to the great realization that we didn't need to go to meetings anymore because we had each other. And you know what? It did kind of work for a minute. You know, I stopped going to meetings, and I remember feeling guilty that and even knowing in my heart that it was a bad idea, and I didn't care because this is my new life, and meetings are about getting sober, and at some point you have to start living your life. And that's what I told myself. But eventually, you know, I got a few years under my belt. But I started a very slow relapse. First, I started losing my self-respect. And I think one of the hardest things was, is I really lost that connection I had to my higher power that I valued so much. It's funny because now when I look back on the time, I'm working the steps with a sponsor. You guys know I told you I only have about a little more than 30 days sober. And that's real humbling, by the way, you know, because, you know, I'm used to when my kids were growing up and they started running into trouble with drugs and alcohol, it was like, oh, I can tell you where to go. And I could quote the big book and I could quote the steps. And my wife and I are going through a divorce right now, and I left, and I had to go to my son and daughter and sat them down and said, "I'm going to start going to meetings again," and they're like, "Oh, great." Thanks. I said, "By the way, I'm going to have to pick up a white chip," and the eyeballs got a little big there, and it was also very humbling. And so this time around, it's a lot about humility. I don't have I know my time's up, but I don't have a whole lot to share since then, really, because it's been a very short amount of time. But I can tell you that I'm taking my recovery much more seriously this time. There's a lot more at stake, and I've got a lot more eyes on me. And I've got a lot more to lose, because I'm on my own now, which is great in many, many ways, but it's also kind of scary. You know, I'm living in an apartment by myself for the first time in 25 years. And I know that the risk right now for me is really hard, and it's really great. And but I am sponsored. I actually started working my fourth step this week, which in itself is bringing up its own challenges. But I'm hopeful because I know I look around at you guys, and I know these steps work, and I know this program works, and I see my kids who have their acts so much better together than I do at the moment, and that gives me the motivation I need, though, to keep trugging on. And you know, the only experience, strength, and hope I have to offer you today is that I didn't drink today, and that I'm working the steps with a sponsor, and that I have reestablished my connection with God, my higher power. Thank you very much.